The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now it's time for the green scene, and today the phenomenon of hydroclimate whiplash, as recently seen in the California wildfires. First, how hair follicles in nature can smell and even catch pests. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Ruth, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Let's talk about hairy spiders, first of all.
Hairy spiders, maybe not what people want to think about first thing in the morning.
But when you see a spider, you can see the little
follicles. You can see the little follicles on their legs. And spiders, of course, are a really important class of species. But we don't know much, or we haven't known much until now, about how they sense their environment. We know some of them have very good eyesight, and we know that they're very good at sensing vibrations on their web, but we didn't really know how they picked up smells in the atmosphere. And we do know that some of them release pheromones, so if a female's trying to attract a mate. So we knew they must be able to smell. And new research that was just published in the Proceedings of the National Academies of Science looked at a type of spider that weaves an orb-like web, so it's sort of a ball of a web rather than a spread-out web, the wasp spider. And they examined in real detail those hairs on their legs. And what they found was that the hairs where they came in contact with the ground or with their web were different than the hairs on the rest of their leg. So these little hairs are called sensilla. And some of the hairs have little pores at the tip. And those are the ones that they use when they're that touch the ground. But the ones that don't touch the ground had a series of pores running up and down the hair shaft. And what they think is because these only occur in male spiders at the time when they would be picking up these scents, that it's these little pores on these hairs that are enabling them to smell.
And is it all about mating?
Well, at the moment it's about pheromones, but it could well be to pick up other chemical signals in the atmosphere. I mean, we know animals are evolved to be hugely attuned to their environment. But just we didn't know before 2025 how spiders smelled with their legs.
Now, hairy tomato stems, and they are pretty good at knocking off predators.
They are, and quite a few plants. I mean, if you think about sage or lamb's ear, there's quite a few plants that kind of have that fuzzy feeling, like the stem of a tomato, and that is tiny hairs. In this case, they're called trichomes, and they do lots of things. They can keep the plant warm, actually, like a little jumper, and they protect it from UV. But what researchers found in the Netherlands, they were looking at the mechanical properties of tomatoes using very, very good cameras, and they found when one of these hairs was touched, it released a liquid. Now, we kind of knew that they would do this, but now we know exactly how much pressure it takes for it to release a liquid. Mm. And that liquid could be released when a little pest was climbing up this hairy tomato stem. So as it walks along, rustling this forest of little hairs called trichomes, little tiny droplets of liquid are being released, wetting the bug. And that slows the bug down. And eventually, if it keeps releasing all of this liquid, the plant, it may release enough liquid for the bug to not be able to attack the plant at all. So we're really interested in this because actually wild tomato plants have more of these little trichomes than our domesticated versions. So if we can reintroduce them into our domestic plants, it might be a very environmentally friendly way to make tomato plants that are resistant to pests.
Very, very interesting. Now, you want to talk to me about hydroclimate whiplash because recently in California, we've an example of what it is. So explain.
Yeah. So this isn't something that is entirely new, but it's something that scientists have now labelled. And this was research that came out in Nature Reviews last week. And as you can imagine, it's about extreme and rapid changes. And when we talk about hydroclimate whiplash, it's about extreme changes between wetness and dryness. So it's when these two things are happening one after the other. So you could have a long period of drought followed by very, very intense rainstorms. And what this research did was it looked back over thousands of studies and weather patterns over many, many years. And what we're seeing is that the frequency of these events is increasing. So everywhere on the planet has experienced between 30 and 60% more of these since the mid 20th century. And the researchers are saying that these will start to rise exponentially now as we move from 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial temperatures to higher. And
so then the examples of why this is so bad.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, why it's so bad is because if you have extreme dryness, so you have ground that is hardened and dry, and then you get more moisture coming in. This is all because the atmosphere is getting hotter. So a hot atmosphere can contain more water, but it can obviously also dry things out more. So the water can't sink into the ground because the ground is dried out. And of course, you will also see vegetation being dried out and becoming tinder for fire.
So if you have a dramatic rainfall on a dry landscape, the water runs off. It doesn't have time to be absorbed and go down into the aquifers and replenish them. So you end up with mudslides and all sorts of things.
Exactly. And with mudslides, it's a very important thing to say because that can get into our water courses. It can then pollute our water and the mudslides can have very dramatic effects themselves. So these climate whiplash events are much more extreme than we would have seen before. And what the researchers are saying is we have to model these in to our climate systems, but we also have to think about them when it comes to our planning. It means we have to think about not putting as much concrete and hard surfaces into our landscape so that water can run off. It means we need to give riverbeds the full access to their natural floodplain.
So don't be building on
floodplains. Don't be building on floodplains. So we need to start thinking about these things in all of our planning.
And how does this apply to the California wildfires?
So with the wildfires, there was years of drought and then there was years of drought actually and a very dry winter. And then there was, of course, record-breaking rain and snow, which gave rise to a huge amount of growth. So we had a lot of growth. And there was also a lot of invasive species. So we have eucalyptus and non-native grasses that grew during the wet period. And then we had record heat again and then a record dry winter. So it's this flipping and flopping between extreme heat and then extreme rainfall. And that's what's happened in California, you know, combined obviously with... Now,
the eucalyptus is native to...
To Australia.
And it's full of... It's an oily plant.
It's an oily plant, beloved by the koala, yeah. And obviously with full of oil. But also, you know, it can break. It puts debris on the ground. It's not designed for the California climate.
There are some eucalyptus trees near me. And when the wind blows, and it's about to blow tomorrow night in spades, it seems, you can see... You know, they sway really back and forward and it wouldn't take too much, you imagine, to snap them.
Yeah, and again, drought. And if you think about the roots of these kind of trees, are they equipped to deal with the weather temperatures that they're facing in environments that they weren't evolved within? So I think, you know, this is research which tells us we need to start taking these extreme changes in weather into account.
And this is a term we're going to hear a lot more of, hydroclimate whiplash.
Hydroclimate whiplash.
Dr. Ruth Freeman, Director of Science for Society at Research Ireland. Thank you very much for joining us. Well, now.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.